For the Orleans County Historical Association, April 2nd, 1980, this is Helen McAllister of Medina, New York, interviewing Mr. Walter, better known as Earl, Watterson. Mr. Watterson lives on the Oak Orchard River Road, outside of Lindenville, New York. He is a farmer of 80, are you 84 or 83?
I'll be 83, 84 in August.
Okay. Born in 1896. Earl, would you please tell us the date of your birth? August?
August 11th, 1896.
Yes. And what was your father's name?
John Watterson.
Okay. And what was your mother's maiden name?
Cora.
Cora what?
Furness.
Cora Furness. Now, see, you said your father was from England?
Yes. He came over here while he was in his 20s, I should say. He worked for a farmer up on the road here about a mile.
Mm-hmm. As a farmer? Mm-hmm. So you said he was known as Johnny Bull?
Well, they used to call us kids that when we went to school, Johnny Bulls.
Uh-huh.
They say we were stubborn.
Well, and you said that there were 8 children.
Yes.
Can you remember all the names in the right order? Who was the oldest?
John.
Yeah. And then?
William.
Uh-huh.
He fell out of an apple tree and broke his back.
Oh.
And then I was next, Earl Watterson.
Mm-hmm.
Louis Watterson.
How would you spell that?
L-O-U-I-E.
Okay. And then?
Jane.
Jane? Mm-hmm.
And Ernest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lottie.
Mm-hmm. You said, let's see, you said she's the one that's, what is her name now?
Lottie Rorick.
Rorick. Okay.
And Ruth.
And
her name is Postal now.
Postal.
She's in Florida.
Mm, good place to be. Okay, what do you remember? Do you have any remembrances about your early home life as a little boy?
Well, I started work when I was about 6 years old, babysitting.
Oh, for your brothers and sisters? Oh, was that because your folks were working on the farm?
Yeah, my dad couldn't do enough unless my mother was out helping.
Yeah, right. What, when did you start school? Where did you go?
Down to the country school, District 16. Mm-hmm. I had to quit school when my brother got hurt, take care of him.
That was William. Mm-hmm. How did that affect him?
He was paralyzed from here down.
From his waist down.
Oh.
Yes.
My folks says to him one night, they says it was on Christmas Eve. Said they can go to bed, and I says I ain't. I says he won't live out the night.
Mm.
Oh yes, he will. I says no, he won't. He died at 12 o'clock.
Mm. How old was he?
I wouldn't dare say.
Was he a little boy or grown up?
He was 16 years old when he fell out of an apple tree.
I see. That must have been pretty hard.
He weighed 120. I used to carry him around.
Mm.
Worst time I had, I took him to Rochester to have some x-ray pictures taken, and I had to carry him up on the second floor. And I got up there, and the old fella says, hold him a while until I get a place to lay him down.
Gee.
I was pretty near all the wind. He weighed 20 pounds more than I do.
Mm. He had a broken back?
Mm-hmm.
How did you get him? Take him in the car?
Oh, yes. I'd pick him up in my arms and carry him like a baby.
What was your school like? Do you remember?
I only went to the country school there. I quit for it. I was in the eighth grade when I left school. So my education ain't too good.
But you had just a couple of teachers then?
One.
One teacher?
Well, only one. She was a grade school, District 16. You only had one school teacher, and one teacher taught for 6 years.
Do you remember that teacher's name?
The name was Pettit, Margaret Pettit.
Margaret Pettit.
She was a good teacher, but I learned the most from Pettit. Well, she married a Pettit. Her name was Fern. She lived in the Nina.
Fern?
Was this school in Kenyonville?
No, this is right down the
this
road.
This side of west of Kenyonville.
That'll be west of Kenyonville. My sister taught school most of her life.
Which sister was that?
Jane.
Oh.
One fella she brought, well, she started him in school. When he died, he was a madman.
Oh, my. Any of that rub off on her?
Well, she's dead now.
Yes. Well.
Died really young.
She did.
And her husband is dead too, passed away. Well, my first job, I went to work in the cemetery.
Oh. Where was that?
Lockport. Way down below the hill there.
What did you do?
Dug graves. Right after World War I, when I had the flu on there. We was busy.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Right.
Well, was that your first job? I think you said in World War I you were drafted.
Yes, I went to camp. I went to Atlanta, Georgia. There was 250 of us, two trainloads of us.
From Orleans County? Or just this area?
Well, there was one train from Orleans County. They picked the other one up the other side of Rochester.
I see.
Boy, that was a nice trip. Every station you went through, there was out there to give you candy.
Was that the Red Cross or just town people?
Just town people. Trying to get acquainted with the soldiers.
What was it like when you got down to Atlanta, Georgia?
Well, the first thing you had to get used to was a bugle call. If you were sick, you had to report in before 4 o'clock. Well, I didn't happen to be sick. I was only there 10 days.
Why was that?
I had this hip bothered me and it split my arch. It kicked me out.
You see, that was a result of what?
Falling out of a cherry tree.
You fell out of a cherry tree.
That was when I was about 6 years old. In them days, they didn't take you to the doctor. You just stood it out.
So that ruined your arch and gave you a bad hip. And as a result, didn't they give you any kind of an examination before you got down to Atlanta, Georgia?
Oh, yes. They put me down as a weak arch. I went over to Albion to see the head one there. And he says, you're the last one on the list. He says, you got to be over there, but you may not go. I says, I don't like that. I says, I want to be the first one. So they put me down the second.
I see.
I didn't want to go over there and have to come back home again.
What do you mean over there?
Over to Albion.
I see. You had to catch the train at Albion?
They took us to Rochester. And we sat there at Lehigh Valley Station there. We sat there from 10 o'clock to 4 in the afternoon. Cop beside of each one of us.
Why was that?
Waiting for the other train load to come in.
Were most of the fellows drafted?
I was all in the draft.
Mm-hmm. What was the train like at that time? Was it comfortable?
Oh yes, it was all but when I went through tunnels.
Then what?
About that much cinders in the foot of her bed.
Really?
Boy, they fed you good.
Well, when you then you came back from World War I, you didn't have to go over. You were glad about that. Do you remember when the war was over? Do you remember the armistice celebrations or anything? What do you remember?
That night we went out and two Bugler boys and marched around the square, went to Kenyonville and back up around.
Around Kenyonville.
We figured we were celebrating.
Sure. Sure. And then so many people did catch the flu. Yes.
I had it, but I was only sick 3 days with it. Doctor come one day and doctored me, and the next day I was out doing chores, and he says he'll be dead in the morning. Mm. I fooled him.
You fooled him. The doctor came to your house?
$2 a person.
Oh dear. What doctor was that, do you remember?
Doc Waters.
From Medina?
Well, he was in Noseville at that time.
I see.
He's got two sons and now in California, doctor.
How long did you work in the Lockport Cemetery?
All one summer.
Did you get paid by the hour?
I think we got $2 a day.
$2 a day for digging graves? Mm. What was the funeral like at that time? Was it different than now, wasn't it?
No, about the same. But there was more went for the cemetery than there is now. Mm-hmm. Boy, I got the devil one day. I thought they'd all left, and I had to put the lid on the caskets and nail it down. I jumped down in, and an old gal come up, and she didn't mean to understand. She didn't want me jumping on that coffin.
She didn't want you jumping on that coffin.
I didn't notice anybody was around, but she was watching, so she probably was hiding behind this tombstone.
They didn't used to put the caskets in the vault, the heavy containers like they do now.
No, they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. You had to nail a lid on.
And then you'd put the dirt back on top, too?
Mm-hmm. Shovel it on them days.
Yes. Did you work alone or did someone work with you?
There were six of us. Mm-hmm. Quite busy that time. Mm. Yeah. Couldn't lower a person into the grave unless you had right papers there. One, we kept her on top of the grave till about 9 o'clock at night before we got the papers.
Who'd sign the papers?
Well, I couldn't really say. They had to come from the town clerk's office. Mm-hmm. Had to get a burial permit.
Mm-hmm. How did the doctors treat anybody for the flu?
Our doctor put a hot mustard plaster on your feet.
On your feet?
Claim that drawed the fever away from your head. He's done well. My sister, she had it, and she didn't take any of the pills. She threw them under the bed. She got over as quick as the rest of us.
What kind of pills did he give? Sugar pills?
I couldn't see.
Yeah.
Them days, the doctor just hand them out to you. Mm-hmm. There was no name on them.
Mm-hmm. They ever give you, have you take whiskey or anything like that?
I do once in a while, but hardly ever take a drink of whiskey.
But I mean for the flu.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I don't smoke nor drink.
Mm-hmm.
Or no water.
Mm-hmm. Well, you save a lot of money. I guess that stuff is expensive.
I don't drink too much pop.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't good for you.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, you worked after the cemetery work, then where did you go to work?
I remember right, I went to Heinz's.
Mm-hmm. You worked there about a year, right? What did you do there?
Well, half a day I was the boss over 75 girls, and that cured me.
It cured you of what?
Being boss.
Oh.
Big shots died there, and all the foremen went to the funeral. He was killed in the war.
Mm.
And they told me to take over. So I did try to.
You didn't like that?
No. Well, that cured me of being boss.
Mm-hmm.
You take 75 girls and they knew you was boss for half a day.
What did you do for the most part while you were at Heinz's?
I was, part of the time I had to expel the girls off.
What do you mean?
Well, they had a job when they wanted to take a 10-minute break, I had to relieve them. And then I was creating the bottles after they got them filled. That was quite a job there to spell them off. Work on a cap machine, go there to a label machine. You'd have to pick that bottle up and put that label on just right.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed the bottles today have them. They're very particular how that label goes on there.
I don't think they pick up each one individually anymore. I think it's probably all
they
done
did,
by machine.
You had to turn it over and put two on.
Is that right?
In them days, we put a cork, tied a cork on each bottle.
Now, what were you bottling?
We was bottling vinegar then. Mm-hmm. And then I worked in the bottling ketchup. That was different. And I worked with the girls on the apple butter.
Hmm.
I had 40 minutes noon hour, and I walked clear down to the Catholic Church for my dinner and back again.
Hmm.
40 minutes.
Did the Catholic Church serve dinners?
No, we boarded right on the opposite corner.
I see.
Pritchard's, we boarded up.
Pritchard's?
Mm-hmm. He's dead, and I don't know where she is now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's quite a hike from Heinz's.
I could do it them days.
Yes.
Nothing to it.
If you worked in Heinz's, how did you get, did you live at home here on the farm?
No. Them days we didn't believe in going 10 miles to work.
Mm-hmm.
I boarded in town.
Mm-hmm. And you worked at Heinz's for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when World War first started, I worked at Pierce Aero Plant.
Oh, yes. Where was that?
Buffalo, Niagara Street. I can remember that well because Woodrow Wilson come there and made a speech. He says, vote for Wilson, oh, keep your sons and daughters in war.
Mm. How much did you get an hour when you worked there at the Pierce Arrow?
19 cents.
Pierce Arrow was a car, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, they built cars and trucks. That was one of the best cars in the country. My brother polished the windows for Woodrow Wilson's car.
Mm-hmm. What did you do at that plant?
I was a kind of a operator there. Mechanic on, had to take care of 150 belts and about 60 machines. had to keep them oiled, and I stopped the machines at noon and started them up, and same at night and morning. I don't know, every place I went, they give me an important job.
You must have been a very responsible person.
I don't know, they didn't ask me.
How many hours a day would you work, or did you work?
10.
10.
Once in a while I'd work 12.
And how many days a week?
6 days.
6 days. Didn't have time for much of anything else.
If I had my oil can, I could go in any place in the factory. They couldn't kick me out.
Did many women work there?
Not then. Mm-hmm. All men.
They didn't work at the Piercero, but they did work at the canning company.
Oh, yes.
Why is that?
Well, there's quite a few years difference.
I see. You worked at Heinz's, though, in about 1918.
Well, see, I worked at Piercero plant before that.
Yeah.
I worked at Piercero plant before that. And worked at Clifton Pipe Works before that.
Where was Clifton Pipe Works?
It was on just off of Niagara Street.
In Buffalo? Uh-huh. Now, is that the same as Upson's?
No.
Well, what's Clifton Pipe Works?
Yeah. Well, we had to dip pipes in acid to clean them, and then we dipped them in a tar solution, kind of. That was for these electric pipes in days. They pull all their electricity through pipes. Hmm. And then the good pipes were galvanized then for... Well, I quit there, and the boss wanted us to stay.
How much did they pay an hour?
19 cents.
19.
There was 2 weeks there. We were, cost us more for board than we made.
Mm. How did you find a job in Buffalo?
Just go out, take off, and go around the factories. Be there in the morning when they opened up. We only went to Piercero plant once. There was about 50 there, and they picked the three of us up.
How did you work there?
We just stand there in the line till they got ready to interview you. I don't know. I think they could tell we was hay hookers.
Does that mean willing to work for not very much money?
Yes.
Did you work at the Curtis Airplane Factory, or was that quite a bit later?
That was a year later after that.
I see. How long were you there?
One winter.
What was that like?
That was a good place to work. We put assembling wings for planes for across overseas.
Hmm.
That was right in the wartime.
Did they make quite a few airplanes?
Oh boy. I think we turned out around 60 wings a day. There was two, or see, four on a plane.
Mm-hmm. Double, is that what they call a double wing plane?
Biplanes,
yes.
That's all they had them days with them.
Hmm. You said that two other fellows went with you. Were they from around here?
One was my brother and one was a... He was a heart, well, he worked for me off and on.
What was your, which brother was there?
Louis.
Uh-huh. And what was your friend's name?
George Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
He's passed away.
Yes. The three young, what'd you call yourself, hay hookers?
Yeah, that's okay.
Oh,
someone in the factory said we didn't know nothing. We could show them up.
Then you said somewhere along the line you decided to become a hobo. Tell us about that, will you?
That was right after World War I then.
Yes.
War was declared over then.
Yes.
We went to Buffalo to the employment office and hired out the No, we went to Buffalo and we got a boat and went to Detroit. Then we hired out for on the railroad.
What railroad is that?
New York Central.
Mm-hmm. When you hired out to the railroad, what do you mean?
Well, they wanted help down in Texas. They went to this employment office and they was hiring help for the railroad. So they booked us up.
Did you know anything about the job? What were you going to do in Texas?
He was laying tracks for new railroad.
Oh, that's hard work.
Well, we never got there.
Tell me about your ride, however far you went.
We went to South Dakota.
What was the train ride like?
Good. They had nice easy chairs and good feed, but he didn't have many when he got there.
Was it mostly men?
All men.
Uh-huh. Did they mostly get off hither and yon or what?
Get off here and there along the line.
There was nothing they could stop you. They couldn't stop you from doing that?
I guess they could if they wanted to. Hopefully he wasn't too particular. He didn't watch us too close.
Was there a representative from Texas, from the railroad there, or what?
I think there was, because there was a man went with us to oversee us.
Mm-hmm. So where did, you said, who went with you? Who was your friend? Was that
Harry Nudd. He was just a friend then, but he married my sister.
Yes. Which sister was that?
Jane,
yes. So, when did you decide to jump off the train?
I was in South Dakota.
South Dakota. So then what did you do? Had you ever been to South Dakota before? What was it like?
Well, we didn't see too much of that, but North Dakota, I worked in there. Boy, they fed you five times a day where we worked. Worked for a German family. Boy, they treated you like kings.
What kind of work did you do?
I hired out as a binder man.
Binder?
The old fellow said the second day, he says, I'll see how much you know. Well, string that binder up. I did. He gave me credit for it.
Had you learned to do that here on your father's farm?
Oh, yes, I used to work. But he wanted me to drive four horses, and I told him I never drove four horses. That don't make any difference. You drive two, you can drive four. And the women folks said, you got to drive Maud. I says, what's wrong with her? Nobody can work her. He said they hadn't had a hired man yet that could work a horse. Well, I says, I'll work her. I went out and fed her some grain that night, and next morning I went out and harnessed her and put her on the winder.
Just like that. Just like that.
And I was up to the neighbors, and I come riding her in. The old fellow says, hey, come that damn kid now. He says he can do anything with a horse. Went up for the neighbors to work, and he gave me another one, Outlaw. That's what I got out of it.
You have a bent finger. What happened? Oh, my. What happened to that finger?
Broke the joint in it. I worked the horse, though.
Mm. How did you do that?
I put my fingers in a bit like this. Mm-hmm. It was a big horse, and he took me up in the air about 6 feet. My heft and against the horse's jawbone, it broke the joint.
What was against the jawbone?
My finger.
Oh,
see, I had it in the, you've seen the bits in the horses?
Yes, yes.
Paul showed me that's how to hold a horse, but I learned different.
Mm. Yeah. You must be, you never had it properly set.
I had it set, but they should have taped the two fingers together,
yes.
But they didn't.
Does it bother you at all?
Not too much. Mm-hmm. I went to a doctor 2 years ago and he cut it off and he wouldn't do it. I says, I'll pay you for it. It didn't make any difference. He wouldn't do it.
Why would you want it cut off?
Bothers me picking apples. Don't come right.
So you worked as a binder and driving your horses.
First field we worked in, 350 acres.
Acres of... Okay. What'd you say?
I said, out there they didn't ask you to do anything, they tell you to.
You said the German people were really good to work for?
Oh, yes. When we quit there, we went to work for Brownlee Brothers. They had...
Brownlee?
They had 170 acres. We filled silos there. And their folks died and the boys was taken over. And their binder broke down. I went over and fixed it for him. When he quit, he wanted me to stay, and he said, I'll give you a job as foreman if you'll stay.
Wow.
And I says, nothing doing. I don't like the job as boss.
Now, were you still in North Dakota?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get up into Minnesota?
Mm-hmm. Worked in Minnesota. 3 days is all.
Why is that?
Didn't pay us enough, 30 cents an hour. First day I was there, I was shocking up oats, and my partner was a bigger guy than I, and he come to him and he says, I want you to drive a team on the binder this afternoon. He says, nothing doing, go ask him. He didn't ask me, he says, this afternoon you're going to cut oats.
Mm.
Put the horses on the binder and we went along a cross road. And there's a car went along, scared them horses, four of them on the binder. Mm. I stayed with them, and I missed the telephone poles of about 20 feet.
It scared the horses, so they took right off?
Well, and then run.
Yeah.
Well, his eyes was about that big. He was surprised, but I stayed with him.
Yeah.
And he says, never mind. He says, you keep on cutting, I'll cut around them posts.
Mm.
He went away and left me. That's the first time I ever drove four horses.
How much did you say you got an hour?
30 cents there.
What did you get in North Dakota?
60.
60.
Hmm. Twice as much.
Hmm. What was it like in Dakota? Was it...
You could see for miles. Mm-hmm. No. Well, there was a government that set some trees out there when they took up a claim they had to set an acre of trees or two. They was poplar trees. If it wasn't for them, there wouldn't be nothing there. Mm. Just clear sailing. He was a hotel keeper before he started farming. He didn't know much about farming. Mm.
It was windy out there, wasn't it?
One day we quit afraid the wind would blow the binder over.
Well, you said that you were not really a hobo, but you were away from this area for about a year.
Well, we was out there only about 5 months.
I see.
When we come back home, they call us hobos. Well, I got a kick out of that. For one place, there was 20 of us. One of them hobos, he could preach a better sermon than any minister I've heard around here.
Is that right?
I think if it hadn't been for him, I'd been hoboing again. He says, take my advice and settle down. He says, I've hoboed all my life, and he was about 70 years old. He says, you'll never have nothing. And he says, many a night I slept outdoors. Well, I've slept outdoors. In Chicago, I slept under a berry bush.
You really traveled around quite a bit.
Well, everybody think I stayed on the farm. I don't tell them any different.
Well, When you came back, why did you come back? Because of that man's sermon?
That's one reason I come back. Come back, start picking fruit.
Did you pick for your father?
No, I hired out a neighbor. My cousin come and wanted me to work for him. He said he'd pay me good money. He says, what do you take to come work for me? I says, $10 a day. He went in the air about that. I kept track of it. I made from $11 to $12 a day picking apples. We picked in barrels some days. Best I done, I got 40 barrels in 8 hours.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Take 40 barrels is 120 bushel. There's quite a few of them around here going to show me how to pick apples, and some of them I can show them yet.
What did they do with the apples after they were in the barrels? How did they get them out of here?
Then they put them in storages. And wintertime you'd repack them and sell them to different buyers. I'd done that two different winters, repacked apples.
Does that mean you worked for the cold storage? Mm-hmm. What cold storage would that be?
I worked in Waterport cold storage, and I worked in three dry storages, and I worked in three storages in Medina.
Three of them, eh?
Go from one to the other. I think one man owned them all. I think Claude Grinnell and Possum, they were brother-in-laws, I think they were.
Mm-hmm. Was it really cold in the cold storage?
Storage where it was cold. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't be in there when he's just long enough to roll up, fruit enough to work in.
You'd take the apples out of the barrels and put them into baskets?
No, we'd repack them. Dump them out of the barrels and repack them, face them up and put them back in again. Because there'd be a few rotten ones in. Then we ship most of them overseas. Hmm. You had to put the head in, nail them in so they wouldn't get out.
I see.
Probably you knew Squires used to live in town.
Squires? Yes. Mr. Squires lived on Elm Street?
I don't know just where he lived, but
I think he's the man that showed us our house on
Highland
Avenue.
That's right. He worked for Possum.
Yes.
Me and him would do the heading.
Is that right?
He could beat me, but I wasn't far behind him.
Yeah. Yes, we met him.
Nice fellow he was.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you, when you worked in Medina, did you live in Medina?
I boarded in Medina.
Mm-hmm. Did you, when did you come back to the farm, or when did you get married? Was that along in there?
1930, right in the Depression.
Oh, my. How did you meet your wife?
Well, it was a blind date first.
Really? Tell me about it.
I was going with wanted to know if I wanted a blind date. I says, okay, and went out with her, and then I don't think I see her again for 6 weeks. And she was working in the paper factory, or not the paper factory, the paper store in Medina, Wills's.
Paper store? Wiltsy's?
Wills.
Wills?
Hmm. I used to go in there and visit with her. Finally got a date with her.
What did you do on a date? Where did you go?
Well, we went all over practically. Went to Watkins Glen, Walcott, and around, over Toronto Fair. Then, them days, the girls all they thought of, see which one go the furthest.
In your fancy car?
Well, that was a model. Well, the car I dated her with, I bought it off my friend. I gave him $19 for it. It run good.
Yeah.
What kind of a car was that?
A Model T Ford.
A what top? Canopy? Is that right?
Hmm.
Now, what was your wife's name?
Her name was Thelma Oderkirk.
Thelma Oderkirk. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you tell us about how long after that did you get married? Was it a long courtship?
Oh, about three years, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law and I would go in the back door, she'd go up front. I was no damn good.
How did you get married then?
12 o'clock Saturday night.
Was that a surprise to most everybody? Sure was, huh?
How it happened to be so late. They had a surprise party on her that day from her old boyfriend.
Why did they have a surprise party? Was that a birthday party?
Well, that was her birthday.
Her birthday.
And they took her brother-in-law took her uptown and kept her up there. And she got so mad at 6 o'clock she started to walk home, so they brought her home. We were supposed to get married about 6 o'clock, and she had to get her clothes ready and everything after that.
Where did she live?
Over on the Anglin Road.
I see.
And that was a surprise for them.
Where did you get married?
Medina.
At the Baptist Parsonage?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name now, but mm-hmm. He says, I don't know if this will be legal or not. I says, don't make any difference. My brother, he was there waiting to stand up with my brother and his wife.
Your brother and his wife? Which brother was that?
Ernest.
Yeah. Then did you have a honeymoon?
Yep, we went down south. Mm-hmm. It was gone 3 days. When they come home, they give me a shimmering.
What was that like?
Well, they carry you out and do sometimes they drench you and...
They what?
They're liable to throw you in the creek or any other thing. There was about 100 of them.
Wow.
Is that all men or men and women? Well,
men and women. My wife hid up, they couldn't find her. Got in my brother's car and he covered it up in the back seat on the floor.